Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just so we're clear, I mean, no one's under the illusion that this is a concert or anything, right? Okay. Now, I've done a number of these. Like it. I've done a number of these kinds of things in the New York area. I did one in the city in May, and I did one, I don't know, where I live in May, and I did one in Queens before that. So I don't know if anybody's heard any of the stuff that I've done before like this. Basically, it's questions and answers. What I'm trying to get out is all this information I have about the job that I do, because there is a job aspect to what I do. There's a gig, there's a career, there's a profession, there's a craft to it, there's an art to it, there's a science, there's a technology. And when I was first starting out, I didn't know how to do any of it. I just knew I loved music and I wanted to do something in music. And I had to learn by trial and error, making a lot of mistakes. And I wished that I had the opportunity to ask somebody who did the job so I could ask them, well, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? How do I learn how to do this? Who do I meet? How do I, you know, how do you do the business part of it? So let me open this up to questions, because hopefully you'll pick my brain, because I got all this information I would like to pass along and help if anybody is interested in the music business or writing or recording or performing or touring or whatever it is I do. Now we're going to pass the mic to people, so just raise your hand if you have a question. Okay, let's start over here. You.
How did you decide to frame scenes from an Italian restaurant, and which part came first?
Okay. Did anybody hear that? How did I decide to frame scenes from an Italian restaurant, and which part came first? That's a good question. That song started out as the middle part. It was called The Ballad of Brenda and Eddie. Brenda and Eddie with the populist daddies and the king and the queen of the brown. Play. Okay, I'll just take my cue from the audience. It's time for a little musical interlude, Bill. And I think we debuted this part in Philadelphia at the something like the Academy of Music or something. And it goes, Brenda and Eddie were the popular studies and the king and the queen of the prom, riding around with the car top down and the radio on. Nobody looked any finer. Oh, it's more of a hint at the Parkway Diner. We never knew we could want more than that out of life. Surely Brenda and Eddie would always know how to survive. Oh, oh. Eddie was still going steady in the summer of 75 when they decided the marriage would be at the end of July. Everyone said they were crazy. Brenda, you know you're much too lazy, and Eddie could never afford to live that kind of life. Oh, but there we were waving Brenda and Eddie goodbye. Oh, oh, oh. A couple of paintings, some Sears, a big water bed that they bought with the bread they had saved for a couple of years. They started to fight when the money got tight, and they just didn't count on the tears. Oh, Brenda and Eddie had it already by the summer of 75, from the height of the low to the end of the show for the rest of their lives. Couldn't go back to the greasers. The best they could do was pick up their pieces. So we always knew they would both find a way to get by. Oh, and that's all I heard about Brenda and Eddie. Can't tell your mom as I told you already. And here we are waving Brenda and Eddie goodbye. Oh, oh, oh. Some kind of bailout ending. Oh, oh, oh.
Like,
you know, one of those.
You know, one of those bailout endings. You know, how do we end this thing? It's just give it an end. And I'd had, so I said, okay, that's the Ballad of Brendan A, which is kind of the meat and potatoes, you know, the main course. I use a lot of food analogies. I'm a food-oriented guy. And so what I was trying to get across was, we all know, I'm sure, that there were people who peaked a little too early in life. When we were in high school, it was the people we thought were so cool in high school. Like, I wish I was that guy in high school. You know, with the perfect pompadour. You know, he always had great clothes. You know, he always had the coolest shoes. He always went out with the coolest girl. You know, he was always the most popular guy. And then I saw him at the 10-year reunion, and this guy was like a caved-in ashtray. You know what I mean? Stomach was like out to here. What the hell happened to you? It's like, peak too early, you know? You know, we all know people like this. And I always wonder, whatever happened to the heroes of high school? Because in high school, it was so important to be with the right crowd. In my era, maybe it's the same in this era. I'm assuming there's a certain amount of that still goes on. Bullshit, you know? And I thought, you know, but they were my heroes, these people. And then I said, okay, but that's not enough. We got that. We got the meat and potatoes. Now, what context is this coming from? Am I being preachy? Am I putting somebody down? And I thought, and I had this other idea, which was this bottle of white, bottle of red. I said, this is a good introduction. It's really not a song in itself. It's a prelude to something. And I took a cue from, remember the Abbey Road album by the Beatles? Anybody know that? Okay. I'm gonna move again. I should just kind of stay. This the side two of Abbey Road is this thing called Golden Slumbers, right? And it goes. Really hadn't kind of hung out together for a long time when they made this album. And what I suspect is they came in with little bits and pieces of things. And McCartney had this idea, you never give me your money, you only send me your funny paper. And in the middle of negotiations, you break down. And then the next part it goes, and they go, now what do you got? Well, I don't know. And he said, what's that other idea you had? Head job, money spent, zero future, zero rent. So that was, then, and George Martin figured out, he says, if you just make this one chord change, you could go right into that. All the money's gone, nowhere to go. And then what? What are you going to do now? Well, let's see. I got this, and John would kick in. I got this idea. But oh, that magic feeling, nowhere to go. Take it piece by piece. One sweet dream. Now, come on, he didn't write that all in one sitting. That was all. Pick up the bag, get in a limousine. Soon we'll be an old man. But then there's the drum solo. Ringo, what do you want to do? And I think what happened was they had a lot of great pieces of things, and George Martin being the brilliant producer that he was, and having the terrific relationship that he had with the Beatles, who were not getting along with each other at all, sewed it all together and turned it into one piece. Almost a symphonic piece, because it's a reiteration when they go da, 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 at the end, and we all go, they meant to do the whole thing like this, you know. And it's kind of it's a device, and it worked, and we, you know, we all, those of us who grew up then, just like idolized the Beatles so much, we thought this was like Beethoven's Ninth that was all conceived in one piece. But it wasn't. It was done in different times, and that's how I wrote that song.